So I'll try to get back into orbit here and try to get back on track. But from the bottom of my heart, without trying to sound pious and what have you, God knows I'm not worthy of that. I've had the wonderful privilege to come to know the Lord and to serve with some of the greatest people in the world. And many of them are sitting here right here tonight. And I'll assure you this, if there's any human credit to be given, it's among these here and not myself. I'm just a representative, that's all. And I mean that. I want to thank the church again for hosting us. I'm telling you, your pastor and his wife and all you folks just go all out. You knock the ball out of the park every time. I never was a home run hitter, but I appreciate home runs. And I appreciate this church because every day they hit another home run. They hit several of them a day. I'm walking through here this afternoon, and, man, people are scurrying around, cleaning up and so forth. You know, the power behind the scenes. There's some folks, if there was a vacancy in the Trinity, they'd be interested, okay? But to clean the church, they're not too interested. But don't you appreciate coming into a clean church? Don't you appreciate this delicious food? I mean, man, it's just absolutely outstanding. And my mouth's already warding on a Thursday night. I'll assure you that. Now, let me say something else, too. This is Missions Conference, and you have two great preachers, Brother Whetstone and Brother O'Malley. And if I'm not mistaken, they are alternating nights preaching. Is that not true? I hope this does not upset that. I mean that with all my heart. Coming into something like this and kind of breaking out of the routine sometimes just doesn't work too good. But I want tonight to speak to you a topic that may seem overly simplistic to some of you tonight, but it's something that God has really spoken to my heart about in the last few months and has really blessed my life with it. I want to speak to you tonight on this topic, when Jesus comes to church. When Jesus comes to church. We'll start with going into the book of Revelation in chapter 1, when the seven letters were written to the seven churches in chapters 2 and 3. We find the Lord Jesus Christ in the midst of the seven candlesticks, which are the seven churches. General William Booth, who founded the Salvation Army, made several statements to me that were really prophetic. One of those statements was that he feared in the coming century, which has already come and gone, that people would be trying to practice Christianity without Christ. And I believe we have lived to see that. I don't know where they get the statistics from. I don't know, but I have heard this, that according to some, so much of church, somebody said in some churches, as much as 90% of the work of the church could go on without the Spirit of God. If that is so, we're in bad shape. We're really in bad shape. But I found this to be true, that our Lord Jesus Christ started out in the midst of the church. But when you go through the seven letters to the seven churches, you know that two of those churches were not rebuked, the church at Smyrna and the church at Philadelphia. But the other five churches were rebuked. But when you come down to the last church, which is the church of Laodicea, and all the preceding churches, the Lord had at least some good things to say about it. But when you come to the church at Laodicea, there's nothing good said about it. These seven letters not only represented seven literal churches, and they were seven literal churches, but I believe that each of those messages, each of those churches represents seven different phases of the church age, which started at Pentecost and will be completed at the rapture. I don't argue with people when the church started, but I know when it was activated at Pentecost. And if you go through the church of Ephesus and the church at Smyrna and Pergamos and Thyatira and Sardis and Philadelphia and into Laodicea, you find several different problems developing in five of those churches, and it seemed like it's a cumulative. And when you come down to the church at Laodicea, which I believe we're living in a Laodicean church age, that's my own interpretation of this, I believe that we're in the last of the church age, in the Laodicean church age. And in chapter 3 and verse 20, as the Laodicean church age is closed out, we don't find the Lord Jesus Christ in the midst of the candlesticks, in the midst of the churches, but rather he's on the outside knocking, trying to come in. Now, somewhere in that time, he was moved out of the church. And that's what I want to speak to you about tonight. May the Lord Jesus Christ be in church tonight. I want you to take your Bibles and go with me to 2 Corinthians chapter 3. And then we're going to reference chapter 4, where our text is for this week. And there's a word I want you to notice in the very first word of chapter 4. Let's stand together, shall we, in respect to the Lord's word. Brother Fred Daniels, do you mind coming to the pulpit and leading prayer, please, sir? I want you to notice one word there tonight, therefore. Therefore.
Father, we thank you for the privilege we have to be in your house. We thank you for the music that's prepared our hearts.
Yes, it has.
Testimonies, the word of God that's going to be read to us now. Servants and not just hearers. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Thank you. All right, if you remain standing for just a moment in verse 1 of chapter 4, therefore, seeing we have this ministry, as we have received mercy, we faint not. All right, you may be seated. Years ago, I was listening to one of my favorite evangelists, Brother Jack Green. He was a brother to Dr. Oliver Green. And he came to our church and preached many, many revival meetings, and we had wonderful time with Brother Jack. And Brother Jack said, when you see a therefore, see what it's there for. And therefore, in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, is there because of what's in 2 Corinthians chapter 3. That's leading into this wonderful text that Brother John has selected concerning the eternal weight of glory. Now, if you'll notice in 2 Corinthians chapter 3, there is a reference to Moses, who went up to the mount and received the word of God and spent some 40 days in the presence of the Lord. And when he came down out of the mountain, his face was had such a glow about it, the people were afraid of him. He had been exposed to the Shekinah glory. He had been exposed to the glory of God, and his countenance was such that the people were literally afraid of him. And he had to put a veil over his face. Now the Bible makes it clear in verse 9 that if the ministration of condemnation be glory, much more doth the ministration of righteousness exceed in glory. That is, we have access to a glory that is greater than what Moses experienced when he was on the mount with God. Now, let's read on. For if that which was made glorious had no... For even that which was made glorious had no glory in this respect by reason of the glory that excelleth. That is, the glory of this New Testament age, the glory of the day of grace, we have more access to the glory of God than Moses had. Now, seeing then, verse 12, that we have such hope, we use great plainness of speech, and not as Moses, which put a veil over his face, that the children of Israel might not steadfastly look to the end of that which is abolished, but that their minds were blinded, for that until this day remaineth the same veil untaken away in the reading of the Old Testament, which veil is done away in Christ. But even unto this day, when Moses is read, the veil is upon their heart. Nevertheless, when it shall turn to the Lord, that's Israel, when it shall turn to the Lord, the veil shall be taken away. Now, look at verses 17 and 18. Now, the Lord is that Spirit. Catch that. The Lord is that Spirit. We're speaking about the Lord coming to church. Okay? And we're not speaking about some type of charismatic phenomenon or something like that. We're speaking about the blessed Spirit of God, the same comforter that the Lord Jesus Christ promised in John chapter 16 when he said, "Nevertheless, I tell you the truth, it's expedient for you that I go away. For if I go not away, the Comforter will not come unto you, but if I depart, I will send him unto you. And when he has come, he'll reprove the world of sin and righteousness and of judgment of sin, because they believe not on me, and righteousness because the prince of this world has come. All right, now, the Lord is that Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. And we need the liberty and the power of God. Notice, if you will, now verse 18. But we all, with an open face, beholding as in a glass the glory of the Lord, are changed into the same image from glory to glory, even as by the Spirit of the Lord. So this glory of the Lord, the Spirit of God, which is the Lord. Now, read it again. The Lord is that Spirit. So when we're speaking about the Lord Jesus Christ coming to the church, we're speaking about the blessed Holy Spirit being in the church and not being driven out of the church. And we're going to see, Lord willing, before we close this ministry, this message tonight, that there's ways you can just push the Spirit of God out. You can grieve him. You can quench him. And by the way, I don't know of anything deader than a service without the power of the Spirit of God. I have a good friend, a real good friend. He's well up in years now. And he took a church that he thought he could help. He really did. It had had evidently quite a history of problems and so forth. He ended up having to leave it. But for some years, he was pastoring there. And a woman came to him one day, and she said, he had already told him, listen, I don't want to know anything about your past. I'm not concerned about your problems of the past. I'm concerned about going on from here. She came to him. She said, I want to tell you about, he said, I don't want to hear it. She said, you're going to hear it anyway. Now, here's what she said, and I'm not making this up. She said, preacher, before you came here, I came to this church 8 years. And boys and girls, if any in the auditorium here tonight, Preacher Bill's not cursing. But she said, I came to this church here for 8 years, and every time I came, it was like going to hell. What a tragedy. You see, when the Lord is here, there's going to be changes. You'll notice verse 18, but we all with open face beholding as in a glass, the glory of the Lord, are changed into the same image from glory to glory as by the Spirit of the Lord. Most any preacher that has any speaking ability at all can influence people, can make people laugh and sometimes make people cry, and can inform and educate and so forth. But I want to tell you this. It's only the Lord Jesus Christ who can change people. Notice this wonderful text that Brother John has chosen here while we look not at the things which are seen, but things which are not. I'm sorry. For our light affliction, which is but for a moment, worketh for us a far more exceeding eternal weight of glory. I looked that word up. I tried to find the meaning of it. The weight. It's one of those Greek words I understand that you just can't get the definition for, because it's limitless. So what I'm trying to share with you tonight is this. If the Lord Jesus Christ is in church, there's going to be changes being made. And we're going to be being changed more and more and more as we behold his glory, as in a glass, the glory of the Lord are changed in the same image from glory to glory. I want you to go with me now. I told you that some of you are going to think this is very, very simple preaching tonight. And by the way, I always do preach in a simple way. But somebody said to me one time, he said, you know, preacher, you preach so simple, everybody can understand it. Well, I say, praise the Lord. I like what Mr. Spurgeon said. He said he put the hay down on the shelf low enough that everybody could get to it. And if I tried to preach like Brother Danny, it would be a wreck. If I tried to preach like Brother John, it'd be a wreck. Or some of these others. I can't do that. That's not me. God has gifted those men, and I recognize it. And many others of you who are here tonight, and Well, I tell you, Brother Gene brought a tremendous message on the tribes of Israel. What a tremendous message that was. I remember one time I told you folks, some of you, that one of my dearest friends, Pastor Clyde Ebert, he is the founder of he's the pastor of Grace Baptist Church in Newport, North Carolina, the founder of Fundamental Broadcasting Network, the greatest soul winner I've ever known in my life, most consistent soul winner I've never, ever known, ever known anywhere. And what a dear man of God he is. And I love and appreciate him, and I appreciate his ministry. So one time I thought, you know, I think I'm going to try to mold my ministry like Brother Clyde's. It takes enough to kill 10 men to keep him busy, and he's 86, 87 years old. He's one of the founding members of this board. Had a lot of sickness now, but just keeps on keeping on. I thought, well, I'd like to pattern my life after him. It'd like to kill me. Man, I found out that's not going to work. And so I just dropped that. Evident, isn't it? He and I, if you don't mind me diversing just for a moment, but just give you an illustration. He's got such a burden and passion for souls that everywhere he goes, he wins people. Literally, not to say he wins people to Christ. We were down in the Caribbean. Brother Dan, I don't know if it's a trip we saw you going down or not, but we were down in the Caribbean one time. He and I used to travel a lot together years ago. And we both went into the men's room, and I was in the men's room just a little bit longer than he was. And I came out, and he said, "Come here, Brother Bill, I want to introduce you to somebody." And this man was standing there in the concourse. And Brother Clyde said, "Tell him what just happened to you." He said, "I got saved." And, you know, the preacher, "Well, wonderful, brother. I'm glad to hear that. And my mind is, how did that happen?" The man just walked out of here. He just walked out of here. How did that happen? So man went on down. I said, "Now, Brother Clyde," I said, "I want you to tell me." I said, "Tell me how that happened." He said, "Well, I came out here and I saw the man coming down the passageway, and I said, 'Hey, you want to talk?'" Yeah, that's what he said. "You want to talk?" And man said, "Yes." He said, "Are you saved?" He said, "No, but," he said, "I need to be." He said, "My wife was a Christian and she just died, and she prayed for me." And Brother Danny, I don't know if you followed up on him or not in Grenada, but he was from Grenada. And he went on to Grenada, and last we heard of him, he got in the church down in Grenada. He's a good man if you're going to pattern your life after somebody, but I found out I couldn't do that. Now, with what we're looking at here tonight, and I'm going to try to pull these ends together here, things happen when the Lord comes to church. In Matthew 18:18, the Lord Jesus Christ made a promise. He said, "Where two or three are gathered together in my name," he said, "there will I be in the midst of them." Now I want you to go with me to Mark chapter 2 real quickly. Mark chapter 2, and let's look at the first five verses. I promise you I'll try not to ramble on, but that just came up tonight. Mark chapter 2. And again he entered in Capernaum, that's the Lord Jesus, and after some days, and it was noise abroad that he was in the house. And straightway many were gathered together, insomuch that there was no room to receive them, no, not so much as about the door, and he preached the word unto them. And they come unto him, bringing one sick of the palsy, which was born afore. And when they could not come nigh unto him for the press, they uncovered the roof where he was. And when they had broken it up, they let down the bed wherein the sick of the palsy lay. And when Jesus saw their faith, he said unto the sick of the palsy, "Son, thy sins be forgiven thee." The point I want to try to share with you here tonight is this. When Jesus is in the house, it's noise abroad. You're not going to hide it when the power of God's in a church. God will see that it's made known. You know why? Because people's lives are going to be changed, and people get excited about bringing other people in. Something's going on over there at the Memorial Baptist Church. Man, I don't know what it is, but I want to get over and find out what it is. Preacher, no doubt, no telling how many people have come to this church for the same reason. Thank God for all the ministries that's going on here at this church. But not only is it noised abroad when Jesus is in the house, but it was noised abroad when he was going to the house of God. Go with me in your Bible, if you will, to Luke chapter 18. Luke chapter 18. Our Lord Jesus Christ is now going to Jerusalem for the last time. In verse 31, chapter 18, verse 31, he took unto him the 12 and said unto them, behold, we go up to Jerusalem, that all things that are written in the prophets concerning the Son may be accomplished. For he shall be delivered unto the Gentiles and shall be mocked and spitefully entreated. They shall scourge him and put him to death, and he shall rise again. They understood none of these things, and this saying was hid from them, neither knew they the things which were spoken. And it came to pass, as he was come nigh to Jerusalem, a certain blind man sat by the wayside begging. I want you to notice verse 36. And hearing the multitude pass by, he asked what it meant. This crowd was going to church with Jesus. They were headed to Jerusalem where the temple was, and they were excited about it. And because of their excitement, this man who could not see heard, and he asked what it was all about. And they told him that it was Jesus of Nazareth. And he cried, saying, Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy on me. And they which went before rebuked him that he should hold his peace, but he cried out so much the more, thou son of David, have mercy on me. And Jesus stood and commanded him to be brought unto him. And when he came near, he asked him, saying, what wilt thou that I shall do unto thee? And he said, Lord, that I may receive my sight. And Jesus said unto him, receive thy sight. Thy faith has saved thee. And immediately he received his sight and followed him, glorifying God and all the people. When they saw it, they gave God the praise. Let me tell you something. If the Lord Jesus is coming to church, we ought to be excited about it. And by the way, if we invite him and seek to live that we don't quench him and grieve him, we have every right to expect him to keep his promise, do we not? That where two or three are gathered together in my name, what did he say? There will I be in the midst of them. There's no problem too hard for him, no case too difficult for him. But I want to tell you this. A church, if we do not have the presence of the Lord, it's like a body without a head. Christ is the head of the church. And by the way, he is not our honored guest. He is the Lord. Years ago, God showed me as a young preacher that I didn't own the Calvary Baptist Church, and by the way, neither did the people in the church own it. I won't go into the details, but I was in one of the deepest valleys I've ever been in my life, and if you want to know the truth, despairing of life. And it was just after God brought me out of that valley that Worldwide began. But I had been one of the deepest valleys in my life. I was praying one day, crying, praying. Now, I didn't hear any voices. I didn't see any lights. But I was a broken-hearted, defeated man, weeping my eyes out before the Lord, knowing that I had problems that I could not handle. And as sure as I'm standing in this pulpit tonight, the angel of the Lord came to me and spoke to me, spoke to my heart and assured me that he would be with me. Again, I heard no voices, I saw no lights, but the presence of the Lord was so real. Amen. And he taught me a great lesson, that the church didn't belong to me and didn't belong to the people there in Newbern. It belongs to him, and that he is not the honored guest. He is the Lord. Amen. It's not ours, it's his. And when we seek to operate without him, we're operating like a body without a head. Now, what's God going to do if we obey him and he's with us? Let's go back again and I'll close. Let's go back to 2 Corinthians chapter 3 and chapter 4. In verse 17 of chapter 3, now the Lord is that Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. Any of you preachers ever preach without liberty? I have. You know of anything more difficult than that? Message as dry as last year's corn shucks. Nobody likes it, and the preacher can't wait to get through with it. And where the Spirit of the Lord is, liberty, but we all with an open face, beholding the glass, in a glass the glory of the Lord, are changed. If Jesus is here, if the Spirit of God is here, the Lord is that Spirit. You can't meet the Lord and come away unchanged. And by the way, that's what leads into this text that we have for the theme of this mission, at the exceeding and eternal weight of glory. What we are reading here, if I understand it right, is this. Looking back at this, that the Lord is that Spirit, and that Moses was in the presence of the Lord, and his face was shining. But what we're doing, what God is doing to us now, is he is changing us from glory to glory, and it will continue. And by the way, it will never cease. It is a fountain of glory that cannot be extinguished, exhausted. It will never, ever exhaust that eternal weight of glory. And the more that we love him and the more we serve him and the more we stay in his presence, the more we're going to be changed into his glory, who is, by the way, the Shekinah glory. For our light affliction, which is but for a moment, worketh for us a far more exceeding eternal weight of glory, while we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal. Now, you think what you will about this. But I don't face the service anymore without praying and asking the Lord to come to church. I want him to know that he is Lord. I want him to know that we can't really do it without him. I want him to know that we can't change anybody, but he can. I want him to know that we can't really challenge folks, but he can. We want to be hidden behind the cross. We want him to be lifted up. We want precious sinners to be able to come in and not leave unchanged. If they don't get saved, they're under conviction, and they know that something's different about this house. And not only lost sinners, but we want God's people to be changed, constantly being changed, constantly being changed. Not constantly being saved. We're saved by the grace of God. As Brother Goodman said this morning, we don't get saved on the installment plan. But I want to tell you this matter of growing in grace and growing in the knowledge of the Lord, I find is a constant, ongoing process. And the more we learn of our Lord, and the closer we get to Him, and the more His glory is revealed to us, the more we want of it. And I'll just close by saying this too. Moses was not the only man influenced and affected by being in the presence of God. There's something about people who spend time in the presence of the Lord. And if we really want to be changed from glory to glory, the key is Christ. The key is Him. The key is the blessed Spirit of God. The Lord is that Spirit. And the Bible says, first of all, and grieve not the Holy Spirit, whereby you are sealed unto the day of redemption. Let all anger and malice and evil speaking be put away from you. Grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby you are sealed unto the day of redemption. For if we grieve Him, over in 1 Thessalonians, I believe it's chapter 5, we're told we can quench Him. And if you want a dead life, you know, and I know, if you're saved, the Holy Spirit comes to dwell in our heart, and He's going to be there. But if He's grieved, if He's quenched, we're going to be powerless and we're going to be miserable. And lives that need to be touched and lives that need to be changed are not going to be. God help us to exalt our Lord and let Him know. And by the way, this is a missions conference. There's never been a greater missionary than our Lord Jesus Christ. He left more to come. He paid the greatest price. He's still seeing the greatest results. He's interceding on our behalf tonight. And He's coming back for us, amen. And going to take us to be with Him. Brother West.